What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, June 2nd, 2017. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Sam is in our control room today, picking up the phone, answering your calls, and putting you on the air with your comments and questions here. A couple of quick program notes. Of course, in our third hour today, the lovely lady Claire will be joining us again with her unique perspective on the world. Next Monday, Gilad Atzmon is going to be our third hour guest, talking about his recent concert tour, his lecture tour, his attack at the hands of Antifa, and of course, we're going to be talking about his book here, which I keep misplacing. There it is, Being in Time, which is now available for sale. It's a very, very good read. It's a very excellent book here. I'm still not quite all the way through it, but I am working on it here. And then, of course, Thursday, Phil Turney and Dave Gaheri will be on our show talking, of course, about the attack on the USS Liberty, the subsequent cover-up, the failure of the cover-up, and the political embarrassment that it's causing as more and more people find out the truth behind the government-approved lies here. Now, as you know, they're still making a big stink over Donald Trump pulling us out of the Paris Climate Accord, and everybody's out there saying, oh, how could he do this? And CNN literally had a chart up on the screen of their report about all the horrible things that are going to happen because we pulled out of the Climate Accord. There are going to be mass extinctions and droughts and flooding from New York City to Shanghai. Countries are going to disappear completely under the waves like Atlantis did, and just ramping up the hysteria to ridiculous levels. People are going to look at that and say, oh, come on. This is utterly, utterly ridiculous. They've even upped the ramp. You've probably seen over on my ClimateGate page, I have a separate page of all the things that have been blamed on global warming. And the latest edition there is a new report that says global warming is causing increased nightmares and loss of sleep in the human race. I mean, they're just... we're running out of sharks for these people to jump over here. Obviously, out in Hollywood, the liberals, especially those who have lent their name and their fame to the global warming hoax, they're having kittens out there over Trump's withdrawal from the Paris climate deal. They're just totally upset. People like Elon Musk are saying, oh, no, we know humans are warming the earth. And Donald Trump offered to renegotiate the Paris Agreement, and you've got Germany and France are out there saying, absolutely not, it's our way or the highway, and Donald Trump is saying, okay, it's the highway here. And there's already a little bit of a pushback there. Nigel Farage is out there berating Jean-Claude Juncker and Barack Obama for their criticism of Trump, saying, you know, it is called democracy, where people are allowed to decide where they want to go in the future. Of course, the liberal agenda is we know what's best for everybody else, which is why they keep making such horrific mistakes time after time after time. But you need to understand why there is such a tizzy over the climate accord, because remember I've mentioned before, the push for a global government rests on three pillars. One is a global pandemic requiring surrendering our national sovereignty to a global health authority. They tried that back in 2009 with the When Pigs Fly flu, which turned out to be less serious than the ordinary seasonal flu. And global warming was the second pillar, that the Earth is under threat from humans and nations must surrender their sovereignty to a global environmental authority who will tell us what products we can manufacture, what food we can grow, how we can heat our homes, and how big those homes ought to be. And so now that one is under threat. And, of course, the last pillar is going to be a global economic crisis requiring surrendering our sovereignty to a global economic authority, which basically means a global private central bank. That one is also in trouble because most people in nations that are in serious economic trouble know that private central banking is the cause of that, and a bigger version of the same thing is not actually going to correct anything. So that's why the globalists are in such a snit over this. Their whole dreams of a global government, it's starting to come apart here. And that global warming issue in the Paris Treaty, that was a big part of it. Now, Rand Paul is out there saying that, frankly, he couldn't imagine a worse thing than the Paris Climate Agreement for American workers. And Trump isn't going to sign crazy agreements that don't have our best interests at heart. And by the way, I just got an email from Trump Pence basically saying that that's what this is really all about. The Paris Climate Accord was not what was best for the American worker. I mean, Trump's trying to put us back on a level playing field where we don't have these treaties saying that, well, because the U.S. is contributing X to global warming, that we have to allow our jobs to go to other countries. And it's important to remember in all of this caterwauling and wailing and gnashing of teeth and wearing of sackcloth and pouring of ashes all over the head, the Senate never actually ratified the Paris Agreement in the first place. It really did not have the force of law. Now, Vladimir Putin has weighed in on this with classic Russian sense of humor, because he's actually saying that Trump pulling out of the Paris Agreement is actually a good thing, because from now on, any bad weather encountered around the globe will now be blamed on American imperialism. you have to just love this guy's sense of humor. And he finished up the speech by saying in English, "Don't worry, be happy," which I think Bobby McFerrin's going to be very happy about that. We're going to do a quick shout-out to our on-air affiliates just now rejoining our network. We're talking about the fallout from Trump's pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord. So, of course, it was time to repost the article I wrote on this whole issue some years ago, "Climategate, a Crime Against Humanity." And it talks about all of the fraud that was uncovered in all of this screaming about global warming. And back in 2000, they were saying snowfalls were going to be a thing of the past. And it reminded me, when I was thinking about all of this, back in 1841, there was a book that was published called "Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds." And it was a very early study of how people can fall victim to mass delusions, often with catastrophic results. And it included examples such as tulip mania and the witch hysteria. And I think if that book were to be updated today, I think that the popular myth of human-caused global warming and the economic profiteering by its promoters would be included, because it is a mass delusion, and a lot of people believe it to be true because they haven't really looked at it. But Trump was correct to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord. It was an unworkable solution to a problem that didn't exist in the first place. We're going to go ahead and take a phone call from Steve in California. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I just I got an email today, an article emailed to me. It was interesting that I guess in Alabama they must be really hurting. They're now asking kids who cut grass to apply for permits at $110 for cutting grass. So those kids that are making a little bit of summer money and keeping out of trouble cutting grass and doing chores now have to actually pay for a permit to do so. So I guess next up would be the lemonade stands, and I guess they've
been already doing that. They're already doing that. They're shutting down kids' lemonade stands if they don't have a local permit from the government. I mean, the whole point of kids having things like lemonade stands or mowing lawns is to instill in them a work ethic that if you go out and you do work and you do a job, you will get money that you can spend on yourself. And instead, they're being told, well, you can go out and work, but the government's going to take your money right off the top. And that's going to disincentivize kids from going on out and learning that good work ethic. They're just going to say, why should I bother? I'm going to be out there sweating, pushing a lawnmower, and I realize today's lawnmowers are powered. They weren't when I was cutting people's lawns for lunch money. But they're going to say, why should I bother? And they're going to sit at home, and they're going to basically tune into their digital media, or even worse, they're going to go out and get involved in street gangs.
Right.
And it has to be an act of economic desperation, or maybe there's the lobbying group for the professional groundskeepers has gone and said, we got to stop these kids from mowing lawns because it's cutting into our corporate profits. And we know that in some of the cases of the lemonade stands being banned, it was pressure from restaurants and places that sell drinks saying, no, you can't let them sell lemonade. It's cutting into our profits, and we're paying taxes, and they're not, and it's not fair, blah, 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 blah. But it's not like lemonade stands and mowing lawns in summer by kids represents a significant chunk of the gross domestic product. It's really more of a learning exercise. It's encouraging the development of a good work ethic. And you take that away, and the long-term consequences for our economy are going to vastly outweigh any immediate economic benefit to these local governments.
Well, I totally agree. It is establishing a work ethic, and I remember doing it as a kid, cutting grass and shoveling snow in the winter and trimming hedges, and it was great, you know, a little bit of independence, and you made some money, and it was a good thing. But I can also see them now coming after the garage sales and seeing what your total take was on your weekend garage sale and saying, we want a cut of that now. I mean, they are very desperate to be coming at you this way.
Definitely. They actually considered that here in Hawaii a few years ago, and the proposal failed over the issue of enforceability in that because there were so many garage sales going on, the cost of hiring monitors to go on out and go through Craigslist and look for all the ads for yard sales was going to exceed any expected revenue gain, plus the fact that a lot of yard sales are just local. They put up a sign in front of their house for people who are driving around looking for yard sales, and so it really it fell apart because of an enforcement issue.
Right. Well, it's just an act of desperation. I just hope this thing's shut down pretty fast because, like you said, it is establishing work ethic. And these kids, it's a good thing, and I did it, and it's a good thing. So I kind of hope they shut this thing down and point out the hypocrisy and the craziness of the insanity of this stupid new law to ask for a permit for a kid to cut grass. I think it's crazy.
It is. It's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, what are they going to do? Start... kids have a news route. They're delivering newspapers. They're going to shut them down so that some professional corporation with trucks and everything can take over. In our neighborhood, they actually have a real newsstand right across the street from us, bolted to the sidewalk. Not that the newspapers are doing all that well right now, but you cannot tax a society into prosperity. You can only tax it into ruin. And that's what they're doing. This is not only cheating these kids out of the benefits of the labor, it's going to undermine the development of a healthy work ethic, and that we're going to have long-term economic consequences because of it. People are just going to sit back and say, I'm just going to go on food stamps. I mean, what's the point of going on out and working if the government's just going to take it all away from you anyway? I know of a lot of people who are working part-time, and they're saying, why should I work full-time? If I work full-time, the taxes are going to go up, and I'm still going to have the same take-home pay, so I'm just going to work part-time. And that's definitely not a good direction for our economy to be going.
I agree. Hey, thanks, Mike. That's it.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Now, getting on back to the climate agreement, story coming out of Investment Watch blog basically pointing out that it was never a fair agreement. It was a scam for global redistribution of wealth from the modern industrialized nations who are making the products and growing the agricultural produce and shifting it onto the other nations. And it was very unbalanced. It was socialism. It was socialism masking as environmentalism. And of course, we're seeing all these excuses come on back about, well, why we should, yes, the Paris Accord is flawed, it's not perfect, but we should stay with it anyway because it's all about the science. Now, we already know that is simply not true. The science does not actually support the claim that human activity is warming the planet. Earlier in the week, we reported on how NASA's satellite data, they put up satellites back in 1979 to monitor the polar ice caps. They have not shrunk at all. In fact, for the last few years, they've been above the average. So the science does not support it. Earth's climate is dominated by solar energy and the changing shape of the Earth's orbit. And so when the science falls apart, they say, well, we should stay in the Paris Accord because it's symbolic anyway. No, it isn't. It's economic. It's economic. It's about looting the countries that are productive and sending the money to countries that aren't as productive and are... It'll all wind up going to the pockets of the bankers anyway because those other nations are so hideously in debt. We've heard the argument that getting out of the Paris Climate Accord violates international norms. Like there's already some kind of a global government that we are defiant of by pulling out of that accord. And, of course, the other one coming from the liberals, it's a sin against planet Earth. It's a sin against our planet to pull out of the climate accord. Another one is saying we need to stay and to prove America's leadership. Well, America is actually showing leadership. Donald Trump is showing leadership. He's kept this particular campaign promise, and he's showing some leadership. We know the human-caused global warming agenda was politics and economics and not science, and Trump is showing leadership saying it's time to get out of this nonsense. Even the Vatican weighed in on this, saying that the U.S. exit from the Paris climate deal is a slap in the face, which is an odd comment from an institution that teaches the universe was created in just 6 days, 6,000 years ago. Scott Adams has weighed in on this, and basically saying that, did you notice that the stock market actually went up when Trump made the announcement he was pulling out of the Paris climate deal? So if CNN is saying this is now the end of the world and we're all going to die horrible deaths, and then all of a sudden the investors seem to be more confident because the investors knew about the economic dimensions of the Paris Climate Accord, how it was literally going to be sucking wealth out of this country. Well, now that's not going to happen. That makes investing look a little more positive right now. First 250 people who showed up. Now, as I said before, the big issue here is that human-caused global warming, or the rebranded human-caused climate change, like there's nothing else changing climate, was a major pillar on which the platform for the push for global government was resting. And now, along with the failed attempt to create a global pandemic back in 2009, they're in serious trouble. And so now we're seeing the globalists hitting the panic button. And apparently over at the Bilderberg group, they're basically talking about Donald Trump and saying he poses a dangerous risk to the international order. And according to InfoWars, sources that they have are saying that Trump has to be brought to heel, or he has to be turfed out of office, or methods more dire and drastic. The globalists are not ready to give up. They're in serious, serious trouble, but they're not ready to give up, not at all here. Now, getting on to these various and sundry investigations that are popping up all over the place here. As you know, in the email server scandal, there were two hackers. The first one was called Guccifer, who apparently got arrested and locked up. He was the one who reported seeing at least 10 foreign IPs lurking around the files on Hillary's private email server, which included classified information from the State Department. And then he went away, and there was a second one called Guccifer 2.0, who a lot of people thought was a manufactured fake to try and sort of control the story, because Guccifer 2.0 was one of the early claims that Russia was behind this. They claimed that Guccifer 2.0 worked for Russia. Now, that's never been substantiated. They still don't know who Guccifer 2.0 really is. But remember that story that came out about a week ago where there was a hacker who was arrested in Europe, and he's in serious, serious trouble. And through his lawyer, he reported that the FBI approached him and said they would get all the charges against him dropped. They would bring him to the United States, give him a bunch of money and citizenship if he would just confess that he was working for Russia when he hacked into Hillary's email server and the DNC email server. So they were trying to basically create this case out of thin air. So the question is, were there really any Russian fingerprints? And if so, were they themselves planted? Was it a fake? Remember, there's that one specialized NSA unit, or CIA unit, rather, where that's what they do. False flag hacker attacks to blame innocent third parties. We're going to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And Hillary is still out there screaming and crying that she is supposed to be president of the United States of America, and she's just going on and on and on. And it's amazing. Let's see. She is blaming everybody but herself. The reality is we're all aware of the scandals that have followed the Clinton crime family for the last 30 years. It certainly occupied a lot of my attention ever since I got kicked out of Hollywood. But no, it could never be the Empress Hillary's fault. So she's blaming the FBI, she's blaming James Comey, she's blaming the Russians, Vladimir Putin personally, anti-American forces, low information voters. Anybody, this is a slap in the face to everybody in America. If you didn't vote for Hillary, you're just stupid. She's blaming everyone who assumed she'd win because they just sat back and didn't get out to vote. She's blaming bad polling numbers. Well, where did those polling numbers come from? The corporate media, or spin doctors. She's even blaming Obama for winning two terms and souring the American people on the Democratic Party. She's blaming people who wanted change. What's wrong with wanting change? Look at the condition of the country right now. It has to change or collapse. We're there. It's a binary solution set. There's no other choice possible, change or collapse. She's blaming misogynists. Oh, they hated me because I'm a woman. They can't stand a woman president. No, there are women out there I think would make a very good president. I'm hoping Tulsi Gabbard will win. She blamed suburban women for some reason. She blamed the New York Times, television executives, cable news. They were all on her side. I guess she's thinking they weren't on her side enough. For some reason, she's blaming Netflix. She's blaming Democrats for not making the right documentaries. Blaming Facebook, Twitter, WikiLeaks, fake news, meaning those of us telling the truth about her crimes. Content farms in Macedonia. She's blaming the Republican Party. Now she's even blaming the Democratic Party. It's all their fault. And I don't think she really understands what people are thinking of this. The public image that she's putting out about herself. And people are starting to fire back. Republican National Committee Chairwoman Rona Romney McDaniel is saying, basically, Hillary has no self-awareness. Which, by the way, is a classic symptom of sociopathy. This inability to see one's own shortcomings and failings. In fact, McDaniel went on to say, maybe Hillary needs a class or something that we can send her to learn about accountability and accepting responsibility for one's own choices. Over at CNN, they're starting to make fun of her and saying Democrats would really prefer to have her fade away. She's become a satire of herself. Even Democratic Senator Al Franken is out there saying, yeah, I understand that she's upset. And she wants to analyze what happened. No, she's casting blame. But he's saying, it is time to move on. It is. It's June. It is time to move on. And Franken goes on to say, basically, the task for the Democratic Party, post-Hillary, is to convince the people who voted for Donald Trump that the Democratic Party still cares about them. That's going to be a tall order after all the insults, the deplorables, the, you know, calling Trump voters stupid. The Democratic Party is going to be paying for making Hillary their candidate for years to come. Now, getting on, again, back to all this stuff about Russia hacking and all the rest of it, somebody actually did a count, and they found 3,490 corporate news stories claiming that 17 intelligence agencies all confirmed that Russia was hacking the election. It never happened. There were three intelligence agencies saying maybe, and the rest said, we don't find any evidence. So we have this story over to Letho News saying that we're going to talk about this when we come back. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe, I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And as we were starting to talk about before the commercial break here, interesting little article out of Aletho News where they're basically going back and looking at all of the whoppers that have been told to us by the corporate media. And they're focusing on this continuing attempt to sell the idea that Russia somehow interfered in our elections, that Russia hacked the DNC servers. And again, this hypocrisy is stunning. The U.S. government has interfered in foreign elections at least 81 times. Israel's constantly interfering in our internal politics. Nobody makes a big stink about that. And there is no evidence that Russia did it. But the media has basically gone on to a tactic called repetition until they accept it. In other words, they're just going to keep on repeating the claim as if it's an established fact. In the hope that if people who are not really aware that they're being lied to hear it often enough, they'll just say, oh, this must be true. Look how many corporate media outlets are saying it. But that's starting to falter. Right now, U.S. newspaper circulation has slumped to the lowest level since 1945. And it's a telling indicator. Now, the newspapers are trying to say, well, we're giving up the paper circulation, and it's all going to digital. But it turns out their gains in digital are marginal at best and not enough to compensate for the loss in paper newspaper circulation. In other words, they are losing readership because nobody wants to be lied to. And certainly they don't want to have to pay to be lied to. That's insulting. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. Kyle in Pennsylvania, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Just before I get to my main point, the newspaper thing you were saying, I think the way they measure like the effectiveness of newspapers is how many are sold per 100 people. And in 1987, the New York Times sold 104 papers for every 100 people in the country. Now, today, I think it's down to they sell 3 papers for every 100 people in the country. Their circulation has gone down to a minimum. But going back to my main point, you were speaking about Hillary Clinton and her excuse tour. There's a website, I think it's called a Braxo or a Lasso, that is reporting inside sources close to Hillary that she is a, quote, seething ball of rage. Won't speak to close friends, won't speak to family, hasn't spoken really to Chelsea or Bill since the election, and that this is something that she cannot get past, something she cannot get over.
Well, boy, thank goodness we didn't let her get her hands on those keys to the nuclear weapons is all I can say. Yeah, I'm looking at this. It's obvious that she's not going to get the White House. Even if Trump is removed from office, Mike Pence becomes the president. And I asked the question earlier in the week, has she actually, you know, lost her sanity? And maybe it happened a long time ago and they covered it up. We could be seeing the madness of Queen Hillary on display right in front of us. Because it really doesn't make sense the way she's behaving right now. You don't see that there's really a goal that she can achieve. We know that her health is questionable. And she may be just dealing with the rage of not having enough resources to steal the White House and knowing that she's not going to be around long enough to have another try at it.
Well, and she cannot admit the fact that she was a poor candidate and she didn't have a platform. You ask anybody, name one policy that Hillary Clinton ran on. They can't do it. I can't think of a policy that she was running on.
No, she was running on a personality cult. She was running on, you know, the fact that she was a woman and that she was for the minorities and she was going to deal with racism. And no, she didn't really have any kind of actual policies that were going to do anything to improve the economy. And she was certainly fully on board with the war agenda. Frankly, the way that she kept playing that woman card over and over and over again actually turned a lot of female voters off, which is why Hillary is now blaming those gosh darn suburban women for denying her rightful due to the White House. But I'm really starting to think that maybe Hillary has cracked under all this pressure, and heaven knows what prescription medication she's on for her various conditions. That could be affecting her mind as well.
Well, and there was when she attacked the DNC for her loss, one of the DNC insiders, researchers, had a great line. His tweet was, Hillary Clinton's campaign slogan should have been, vote for me, it's my turn. That was basically her attitude.
It was her attitude, and a lot of people were suggesting that as her campaign slogan all during last year's campaign, was just this idea that somehow she had a right to the Oval Office, that she deserved it, and she had this unshakable sense of entitlement. Basically, the election last November was her ice bucket challenge, and she's not reacting to it very well.
And she's lost twice to first-time presidential candidates. That tells you just how poor of a candidate she really is. The DNC has any brains whatsoever. They will get off of this Russia stuff, and they will start focusing on a message, policy, and decent candidates.
That's what Al Franken was saying. It's time to move on from all this stuff. Because they're looking at elections next year, and they don't want to carry the Hillary stain into the midterms next year, let alone 2020. Again, it's like they were saying, a lot of Democrats, they want Hillary to just go away. They're tired of carrying her water for her.
I would completely agree with them, but the other side of that coin is, what significant Democratic candidate out there can you think of now? In our world, absolutely, yes, but I'm talking in the mainstream sort of vernacular, Cory Booker,
Bernie could come back for another shot. Bernie could come back. No. In fact,
I think that's socialism.
Forget about socialism. Just give me a second here. Everybody knows Bernie got cheated. He could carry that into the election in 2020, and it would actually work for him. Because the Democrats would say, we need to support Bernie because he got cheated last time. And this is the rank and file telling the DNC, we're going to pick our own candidate this time. I think Bernie, please stop cutting me off. Okay, I think Bernie ought to seriously be taking a look at 2020. And if not Bernie, again, Tulsi Gabbard. She seems to have more integrity than any other 100 politicians in Washington, D.C. blended together.
In fact, a lot of Bernie supporters, I know for a fact, are very upset that he allowed the DNC to shaft him in the method that they did. And they felt as though they put a lot out for him. Donations, support.
Kyle, you don't know what pressure was put on Bernie not to kick up a fuss. When you're dealing with the Clintons, people who go up against the Clintons die horrible deaths. And we know there was at least one indication that somebody actually beat Bernie Sanders up. He was at one of these rallies. He had bruises on his face. They tried to put makeup over it, but you couldn't see it. They could have threatened his family. Okay, until we know why Bernie didn't push back, I don't think we should judge what he did. He may have been threatened, may have been bought off. He did buy that very, very nice house immediately after losing the nomination to Hillary Clinton. But we're missing important pieces of the story, and we shouldn't jump to a conclusion about Bernie Sanders and why he did what he did until we have all the available facts.
Yeah, but until he comes down and says something, until he makes a statement and say, yes, the Clintons, the DNC, they told me, don't make a deal out of this. Until then, the optics are, he rolled over, he took it. That's an extreme sign of weakness.
You see, I'm not going to make that assumption because we don't have all the facts. And the facts we do have show that the Clintons can bring tremendous amounts of pressure to bear on people they don't like. And we know that's happened to everybody on the dead bodies list. Claire and I certainly felt that all those years ago. And if you have the Clintons saying, we're going to do bad things to you if you don't go along with us, you realize that's a very real threat. You have to take it seriously.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, I see very well knowing that Clinton is in a misery of her own creation, and it couldn't happen to a better person.
Yeah, there's that aspect of it. I think it's also probably a very good thing. If we see Hillary self-destruct in full public view, it is going to serve as additional validation that we in the independent media were right to be concerned about her state of mind, and that the corporate media was trying to cover up for somebody who would have been extraordinarily dangerous had they gotten the keys to the nuclear weapons.
And to go back to the DNC tweet again, one of them said, we didn't tell Hillary Clinton to hide her illness. We didn't tell Hillary Clinton not to go to Wisconsin. We didn't tell Hillary Clinton that she had it locked up. Apparently, she was completely rogue and just decided to run the campaign the way she wanted to run it, and not the way that would be an effective way to.
Well, Hillary Clinton ran Hillary Clinton's campaign the way Hillary Clinton ran Bill Clinton's campaign. It did work back there in the 1990s, but it's out of date with the growing public awareness of the Clinton crimes. And see, that's one of the wonderful things about the age of the Internet and the independent media. Politicians cannot outlast their scandals. The scandals will follow them forever. That's why the Bilderbergers are over there right now trying to figure out some way they can stop this, because they all have scandals in their background that they don't want to have made public.
And it's the same reason why the Bilderbergers are now forced to release their agenda. And while they can't just say, you people are crazy, thinking that the elite are meeting in secret, the Internet...
I think it's a safe assumption that whatever public agenda is released by the Bilderbergers is probably far from complete and possibly wholly inaccurate. Although it does make sense they're talking about Trump not being supportive of the New World Order. They're certainly very concerned about the free flow of information among the general population. And how old is that small person I hear in the background?
She is 11 months.
Oh, congratulations, congratulations.
Thank you, Kyle, so much.
We're going to let you go here. Thanks an awful lot. Hugs to your little one. And before we take this next phone call, here's a story that's really kind of interesting. Apparently, it turns out, the National Security Agency has a copy of a tape of the meeting between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch on the tarmac at that airport. Remember that very questionable meeting that happened just before the Department of Justice and the FBI gave Hillary her get-out-of-jail-free card? And, of course, they were out there saying, well, it was, you know, possibly a bad move. But all we really talked about were our grandchildren. Of course, they'd kicked all the aircraft staff out onto to the runway where it was very, very hot. And they were having their little private meeting. And they insisted that they were just talking about grandchildren. Nothing important like that. Well, apparently, there's a citizen researcher in Florida who wanted to get the recording of Bill Clinton, Loretta Lynch's tape released to the public, and the National Security Agency is refusing, claiming it is a national security issue, which tells us something other than grandchildren was being talked about in that meeting. And we almost don't even need to know what was actually being said. The cover-up is enough to say something was going on. It's like Richard Nixon said, it isn't the crime that gets you, it is that cover-up. We're going to take a phone call from Mike in Alaska. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I had an idea for curbing climate change and CO2 with this Paris Agreement cancellation. A lot of the liberals are pretty upset. But one thing that
my heart
bleeds
for them.
And I think we could help them. We could help their cause by curbing immigration. If you think about it, we're bringing a lot of people in. How are they getting in? They're getting in with airplanes and traveling and CO2 emissions. And another thing is, if they're coming from some countries where maybe they drive around on a 50cc scooter most days, and you bring them to Hawaii and they buy a BMW, or you bring them to California and they buy a Hummer, we've just jumped them up the ladder from where they came from to high output, high CO2 output. So I just don't understand why they would want to move millions and millions of people around when they're crying about emissions and things like this.
Because liberals don't think about outside consequences for their various agendas. They have the agenda, they think it's a good thing, and they move forward, and they never really think it all the way through. And I can't think of a better example than this nonsense about ethanol in the gasoline, because as it turns out, it is not carbon neutral. When you factor in the emissions from the processing of the plant matter into the ethanol, plus the fact that ethanol does not contain as much energy as gasoline, which means you have to buy and burn more of it to get the same work out of your vehicle. Plus, of course, there was the side effect that the ethanol fuel destroyed the fuel systems in older cars, which meant that you had to manufacture replacement components. There's more emissions, and so forth. They don't think these things through. They have this list of things that they believe in, and they don't really say, how do these work together, or do they, in fact, contradict each other? And that's exactly what's going on. The reality is that contrary to the Environmental Protection Agency's proclamation, carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. It is an absolutely necessary component of the cycle of life on Earth. And as atmospheric carbon dioxide goes up, plants will grow faster, taller, bear more produce. Commercial greenhouses artificially increase the CO2 inside in order to get the plants to grow a lot faster. And in a world where we're already dealing with mass famine in many parts of the globe, more carbon dioxide and more plant growth is actually going to be a good thing. But nobody thinks about this. It's, oh, we can use carbon dioxide to get carbon taxes out of the suckers. And that's all we need to think about right now.
Well, we would be in so much trouble if we didn't have carbon dioxide. I mean, we need it.
Extinct. We would be extinct.
I'll just say this and let you go. Up here, we have all the coal, all the oil. We're not Saudi kings. We've got it. We're ready. We're going to do this with the energy. So I hope Trump can make it happen. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. One of these days, I'd love to get up to Alaska for a visit, especially during the aurora season. I've only ever seen one aurora from a tremendous distance away. I'd really like to get that. All right, we're coming up here on a commercial break. When we come on back, more about Hillary Clinton and more information about mishandling of classified information and pay for play. We'll be right back.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide, foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, the latest Freedom of Information Act lawsuit by Judicial Watch has uncovered 115 new email exchanges in which they have found that Hillary Clinton, in her position as Secretary of State, sent classified information to Clinton Foundation employees. Now, this is not something that's going to happen by accident. Hillary Clinton knew those Clinton Foundation employees were not working for the State Department, did not have the necessary security clearances to be looking at this information, and the Clinton Foundation computers had not been certified as secure in order to have classified information on them. So this was an act of commission. And I stress that because when former FBI Director James Comey gave Hillary her get-out-of-jail-free card, he insisted that even though she had actually committed felony violations of Title 18, that she hadn't intended to do wrong, and therefore he wasn't recommending charges. And by the way, it's never the FBI's job to recommend charges or not. That rests solely with the Attorney General. And Loretta Lynch said, we're not going to press charges because I had this talk with Bill Clinton on the tarmac, and obviously, they talked about something other than grandchildren because the NSA is saying that the content of that conversation is a national security issue. Meaning, it's another cover-up here. So I want to stress that. Comey had to know, because of the FBI's investigation, that Hillary Clinton intended to send classified information to people who were not authorized to receive it. And I want to hit that point of his deception very hard because next week he's going to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee. And they're already leaking it out that he's going to go up there and say, oh, yes, Donald Trump ordered me to stop an investigation. Now, there's the issue of whether the White House would use executive privilege to stop Comey from testifying. They're setting Donald Trump up for a trap here. Because if Trump, knowing that Comey is going to lie about him, blocks his testimony, the media will say, aha, Trump has something to hide. And if Trump does nothing, Comey will go into that Senate Intelligence Committee and he will lie. And we know he is lying. If he says that Trump ordered him to stop an investigation or tone it down, because 2 months after Comey claims Trump pressured him to drop the Flynn investigation, Comey testified under oath before Congress there had been no political interference in his investigations. He was asked by Hawaii's own Senator Hirono that was there political interference? And Comey said, no, it hadn't happened. We have the videotape of that interview on the front page of what really happened. So, he either perjured himself in front of the Congressional Committee, or he's going to be lying next week. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.